Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and we're delighted that you're on board. Looking forward to our dialogue and discussion together today. In a moment, I'll give an elongated monologue that will lead into our discussion on the amendments that will be on the ballot that we're expected to vote on November the 6th. There are 13 amendments. One's already been stricken by the court, so there's actually literally 12 that we need to take under consideration. Time will not allow us to go through all of those today on this broadcast. We'll go as far as we can and pick up from that point, reviewing the other amendments in our next broadcast. But ladies and gentlemen, before we get into the monologue and our discussion of those amendments, let me remind you that you can call us at 401-1413, 904-401-1413. Let your telephone call get straight through to the studios and allow us to get to the microphones to discuss these issues with you. It's our desire each day on this broadcast to be a little instructive, illuminating our eyes and thoughts and hearts on those issues that we're faced with. And some say, well, that's in the political realm, and et cetera, et cetera. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, I pray that you're already registered to vote. I pray that you're ready to vote November the 6th. The early voting ballots and the absentee ballots will be out in just a few days, and the early voting will start. We've got just a few days before the, a little over 30 days, about 30, 35 days before the November 6th election. And so I pray that you're prepared. And if we're Christians, we ought to be prepared and researched and ready to cast our ballots, and to do so based on the wisdom that God gives us to do so, not just some willy-nilly, if I can use that term, arbitrary and capricious decision that we're going to vote in certain ways. You've been watching, I'm sure, a number of television commercials saying vote on Amendment 3, Amendment 4, Amendment 6, etc. You must stop and ask yourself, who's behind the mega millions of dollars being spent to, in some way, bend our understanding and focus our thoughts on voting yes or no on these particular ballot issues, the amendments that we're expected to vote on to modify and change the Florida Constitution. Before we look at our monologue today, ladies and gentlemen, let me just remind us that we need to be observant of what the Scripture says. The Word of God says that we need to study the Word, know the Word, that we might be able to rightly divine, discern, determine what the Word of God is saying to us. And Jesus himself said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then in John 17:17, Jesus said profoundly, thy word is truth. And so it's my desire and my prayer each day in this broadcast that it will focus us back to the Word of God and the realization that as Christians we have an opportunity and a responsibility. As citizens, we have a right to be involved in the system in which we're living in. It is wrong for each of us as Christians. It's wrong for a moral ethical majority that's silenced so often for us to sit back in silence and allow the political machine to simply make the decisions for us rather than being actively involved as salt and light. But ladies and gentlemen, I want to think about today, and I've just simply given the broadcast today a simple little title, Changing Florida's Constitution, One Amendment at a Time. And that's just a little bit arbitrary and capricious because we're trying to change our Constitution. This vote ballot initiative, we're trying to do so with 13 amendments. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that we're living in a rapidly changing society. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. Seems like we're on a fast track, fast pace to change. We live in a day where changes seem to be taking place at an alarming rate, as I call it. Our society, think for a moment, our society embraces moral, ethical, and spiritual norms today that just a few years ago were out and out totally rejected. Think about it for a moment. Why are we the people now embracing sodomite marriage, marijuana, pot, if you will, on every street corner? Why are we embracing abortion, murder by way of abortion? One of the most profound and clear reasons, I believe, ladies and gentlemen, is because the courts have determined that those things are right. And the courts have determined by their activist judges, they have imposed their views on the American citizens. And so therefore, we, the people, have had these imposed upon us. And as such, we have been expected to embrace them as being legal, therefore legitimate, and therefore okay. This is the reason I'm adamantly opposed to so many changes, because we are in a cultural time when even the Pope says that our Bible needs to be changed. We have a whole hue and cry of so-called Christians today that are begging and pleading and screaming for change in the Word of God. And they're doing so because we have a secular societal system today that simply made the determination that abortion is right, that homosexual marriage is right, and that legalized pot is okay. And so therefore, it is changing our culture so rapidly that we're on the fast track to accepting change, change, change. And I think there comes a time that we need to put on the brakes and say, we do not need the change in that fashion. We need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that it's these judicial activists that's brought this about for the American citizens. Our legislative branches and our Congress, made up of the representatives and the senators, both elected to make laws for what we, the people, have placed them there for. They need to make the laws. They need to make the legislation. It needs to be then the legislative process that we, the people that elected them, have the opportunity to say, no, we do not want it, or yes, we do. And it's based on the will of the people. But many of our states, ladies and gentlemen, have some kind of special interest groups. And I don't need to sit here and tell you, you know that we got special interest groups. This is the reason we found in 2016 when the ballot initiative, the amendment initiative, amending our state's constitution, 71% of the citizens of Florida said, okay, on pot, so-called medical marijuana. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you may or may not be aware of it, but next legislative session, next spring, there's a law, suit that's already pending that's going to try to force our legislators to tweak the law. The law was placed on the books by the amendment process, amending our Constitution by a petition initiative, and 71% of the Floridians voted yes. And that was simply the camel's nose getting into the tent to then enlarge that. You see, they wanted it under the guise of medical marijuana, and the real end result, the real end game, the real future goal is to have pot on every street corner, which will be called recreational use, because the case that is now standing against the state, that the legislators have got to arbitrarily and capriciously make a decision on what they're going to do with it, is because now these movers and shakers, the pot special interest group in the state of Florida, are now wanting to be able to have the medical marijuana ingested by way of vaping, that is, by smoking it. And ladies and gentlemen, that is simply recreational marijuana then. So what I'm saying to you is we need to be very, very careful how we vote yes or no on ballot initiatives that's put there by special interest groups. Most of the time, we as citizens never go back and look at, analyze, research what caused these initiatives to come forth. We have the gambling industry in the state of Florida, the special interest gambling group. We have the special interest marijuana group. We have the special interest in so many of these groups, the animal rights group, a major, powerful special interest group in the state of Florida. In fact, most are not aware of the fact that in, I believe it was 2006 or 2008, we had an initiative on the ballots that was an amendment to the Constitution that made it illegal for pig farmers in the state of Florida to put pregnant pigs in a cage. Well, I beg to ask anybody, how are you going to transport pigs, pregnant or otherwise, unless they're in a cage? So as a result of that passing, and it was put on there, sponsored by the animal rights activists in the state of Florida. And as a result of that today, ladies and gentlemen, we have very few, if any, pig farmers, farms in the state of Florida. So I'm simply setting the stage for us to understand that we just simply cannot go in and say, well, this sounds good, it looks good, because 99% of the time, ladies and gentlemen, the ballot initiatives, these amendments, they're required by law to have a summary of 90 words of or less of what that amendment is about, that ballot initiative is about. And 99% of the time, these are so worded to tilt the decision the way the special interest group wants us to vote. You understand that they're not going to go into all of the detail that the actual bill itself would wind up being once you have voted on and said yes on that particular amendment. And that's exactly what we see taking place today. These groups are heavily funded, and they can rally the enough petition signatures to have their special interest ballot initiative codified via the state constitution. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm opposed to continuing to amend our constitution. Ladies and gentlemen, on November the 6th, 2018, that's just a few days from now, we the people in the state of Florida will vote on 13 amendments. And that's really not true. It's only 12 now because one of the 13 has been taken out. But ladies and gentlemen, I pray that you've been reading, researching, and analyzing these proposed amendments. And before you walk into the voting booth and vote and cast your ballot, I pray that you will hear me and hear me well. I pray that you will do the research. You may disagree with me. That's fine. And ladies and gentlemen, let me just simply reiterate this. You're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You can join in this dialogue and discussion. We're talking about the 13 constitutional amendments that we're expected to vote on November the 6th. That's just a few days from now. We're expected to vote on it. And let me just say right out of the chute, let me say off the top, let me just simply tell you now, perhaps you're wondering, where am I going? What am I going to say? I'm adamantly opposed to all 13 of these ballot initiatives on our Constitution. I am fed up with, I am weary with seeing our Constitution grow year by year, year by year by year. We're almost looking at our Constitution for the state of Florida as Sears Roebuck catalog. We have 27 amendments to our federal Constitution, our United States Constitution, and we have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of amendments on the Florida State Constitution. That should give you a good insight as to what we're seeing and the fluctuation and the flux in our state as to what we're doing. We never know, ladies and gentlemen, what we're going to be faced with is the change of law tomorrow based on some special interest group and what they have as a ballot initiative. These amendments, I say, we should vote no on all of them. They need to be rejected by we the people. We will look at the analysis of these in just a moment. I'll try to look at them. We'll look at 5-6 of them today, and then look at the balance of them in our next broadcast, Lord willing. But I want to simply say this. Let me suggest something. Let me suggest that if we continue to amend our state constitution, we will soon be controlled by a bevy of constitutional amendments that cannot be controlled or confirmed or in any way changed unless it's by the courts. Our legislators will not have any authority to do so. I am saddened to see us put what should be, if we want a law, get our legislators, the House of Representatives member and the senators, get them to sponsor a bill and co-sponsor the bill and have enough signatures on it to get it to committee and to get it passed. It goes through scrutiny of the committees and the subcommittees. Now, I'm not in total 100% agreement with some of the process for our legislative agenda and what's done, because we have special interest and lobbyists that will buy the vote of our legislators. Yes, that happens. And as a result of that, we'll get laws that should never have been placed on the agenda of our legislative body. But nevertheless, ladies and gentlemen, let's look at it on the basis that we need to have, if we need laws changed, let our legislative process do it. We need not continue to destroy, water down, and make inert our Constitution in the state of Florida by continuing to change it. All of us as citizens would bristle up and reject any effort to change and modify our federal Constitution. You know, we have a good solid constitution. There are things that all of us would say, well, it could be tweaked here, tweaked there. But our founding fathers, ladies and gentlemen, gave us a document based on good insight, based on the authority of God's wisdom, to have what we have today called the Federal of the United States Constitution. And yet we're told somehow, some way, that it's okay to keep on playing with and changing our state constitution simply to allow special interest groups with enough money to buy petitions and signatures and put an issue on the ballot. I say no. I believe God would have us to, as citizens, we the citizens that live in a constitutional republic, where the people, via the elected politicians and leaders whom we have control over. Yes, we have control over our political leaders. Every 2 years, every 4 years, we can vote up or vote down to keep them in office. That's our controlling factor. We don't have to have a straitjacket with our Constitution that codifies law under a constitutional amendment rather than it being a law that is by the proper system of governance in our state. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that our elected political leaders, whom we do have control over, should be the ones to determine the laws that we want, not a well-funded, well-oiled, special interest group in the state of Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that I'll just simply give you a little excerpt or two from. The title of the article simply says, Explaining 12 Constitutional Amendments on the Florida Ballot. In a brief order, September the 7th, the Supreme Court struck down Amendment 8 from the ballot after a lawsuit from the League of Women Voters that challenged the language used to describe its misleading, described it as misleading. Floridians now are going to vote on 12 amendments November the 6th. When Floridians head to the ballot box in November, they will encounter a list of candidates asking for their vote for the seat in the House of Representatives, U.S. Senate, etc. Among the choices that must be made will also be one of the longest lists of proposed constitutional amendments and changes in decades. From betting on dog racing to implementing a ban on public officials lobbying for 6 years after they leave office. The 12 constitutional amendments on this year's ballot are the most since 1998, when the state's Constitutional Revision Commission, which meets every 20 years, put 9 of the 13 amendments on the ballot. The Constitutional Revision Commission convened this year and placed 8 amendments on the ballot. This article says, in some cases, measures have been grouped together, meaning voters will have to choose to approve or reject a proposal that are proposals that have been linked in one amendment only. To be approved, any constitutional amendment requires 60% of the voters to vote yes on them. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what I'm simply trying to say to us. We need to be aware that we're walking into what I believe could be a trap set for us by some of the big boy interest in the state of Florida. Here's an article that is by the Florida Chamber. Now, I don't agree with all that they say in the Florida Chamber. The Jacksonville Chamber, I disagree with most of the time because they are influenced by special interest groups. But here's a statement from the title of the article says 2018 Constitutional Amendments. It's by the Florida Chamber. Florida Chamber has long opposed, listen to this, the Florida Chamber has long opposed placing issues into the Florida's Constitution that can be and should be resolved through the legislative process, end quote. While we recognize that sometimes constitutional amendments are necessary to preserve the integrity of Florida's political system, they should, as the same with the U.S. Constitution, be considered only under great and extraordinary occasions, end quote. I couldn't have said it better myself. While our nation's Constitution holds 27 amendments since 1970, the Florida's Constitution has been amended more than 120 times. Ladies and gentlemen, we are looking at making the Florida Constitution look like an old Sears and Roebuck catalog. But let's just take a moment and the last several minutes that we have on this broadcast and just go down the litany of some of these constitutional changes that we're talking about. And we invite you, our listener, ladies and gentlemen, I pray that you're listening intently. I pray that you're taking notes. because I believe God holds us responsible as moral ethical citizens, and especially as Christians. He holds us responsible for how we govern ourselves as a nation and as a people. We've come too far, too long, with the loose, I call it the loosey-goosey, lackadaisical attitude about just let it go, and I walk into the ballot box and cast a ballot based on what I think at the spur of the moment. Ladies and gentlemen, this is one of the largest lists of proposed constitutional changes since 1998 on the ballot at one time for us to consider. Allow me to just begin with a very simple yet very serious review of our 13 proposed amendments, understanding that one, amendment number 8, has already been stricken by the courts in the state of Florida. But let me remind you that you can call 401-1413, jump in this dialogue and discussion, ask your question, give your comments. Perhaps you disagree with me. Perhaps you think all 13 of them should be voted yes. I'm saying all of them need to be voted no. We need to stop this movement with the juggernaut of special interest, big boy, deep-pocketed groups in the state of Florida muddling and monkeying with, can I say that, monkeying with our state constitution. I think it is a rapid decline of our security with a constitution in the state of Florida. Number one, amendment number one, this amendment is to increase homestead property tax exemption. Would raise the portion of a home's value that can be exempted from the non-school property taxes. The legislature voted to refer this exemption to the ballot in 2017, and the proposed change would apply to the assessment value of the homestead property between $100,000 and $125,000, raising the maximum exemption to $75,000. Ladies and gentlemen, on the surface, that sounds good. Most every homeowner will look at it and say, this is a windfall. This will give me $100, $150 a year savings on my taxes. It will be wonderful. But I say vote no. No, no, no. Why did I say that? This will only cause a shortfall of revenue for the counties and thus would force higher taxes on all of us, other products and other services and business. The question must be asked, ladies and gentlemen, on this amendment, when do we stop with the special carved out groups? When do we stop with the special carved out groups? This article on this amendment says the shift could save homeowners a couple of $100, but a legislative staff analysis of the statute, if it's changed, would cause a shortfall of about $645 million a year for the communities across the state of Florida. Each county, ladies and gentlemen, of course, I understand the mindset by these special interest groups that are doing this. Some of them have said, and I've read extensively on these amendments, and some say, well, you know, if we do that, it will force our local legislative authorities to tighten their belts and to have more restraint on how they spend their money. You believe that? Do you really believe that if we have a shortfall of taxes, our income revenue for our city council in the city of Jacksonville, that they're going to tighten their belts? Not on your life. We're giving away more money at the cost of the taxpayers. Some of the sodomite groups that are going out and recruiting kids, teenagers and preteens off the street and brainwashing them and helping them change their sexual identity as they perceive it. City Council in Duval County is giving them $50,000 to $75,000 a year. They're also receiving state and federal funds. And I could go on and on and on how our monies in the coffers of the City Council in Duval County, and I say this could be blanket across the state of Florida, are being absolutely misused. We should charge them with malfeasance as the way they're using it. But ladies and gentlemen, if we pass Amendment 1, it's not going to stop the aggressive spend attitude of the legislators, the legislative bodies in county after county after county. And if we carve out a special group of people that says, well, this is the age group, so therefore we're going to give them special incentive, we're going to give them a greater tax exemption for homestead exemptions, where are we going to stop? What do we do next? Do we say, well, we're going to do that for the veterans, we're going to do that for the homeless people, we're going to do that for the people that have one leg or one foot or one arm? When are we going to stop with the carving out of special groups in society today? So I say no on the Amendment 1, increased homestead property tax exemption. No, no, no. Amendment 2. Limitation on property assessment. This is very, very similar to that. The limitations on property assessment read something like this. Limitation on property assessment, another proposed tax proposal referred to by the legislature. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, these legislators that referred this to a ballot initiative for the amending of our Constitution, you know what they're doing? They're shirking their responsibility. They're wanting to then say, well, I didn't have anything to do with it. Why, after all, it was an amendment to the Constitution. No, 10,000 times no. We like these dudes to go up to Tallahassee to make decisions based on what we, the people, want, and then they try to shirk their responsibility and shift it off to someone else and say, no, I don't have any control over that. It's an initiative that was put on the ballots, and therefore no. But what they're doing is hiding in the shadows, wanting this to be done so that they can't take blame, either good or bad, fault for doing so. It refers to the legislator would cement an existing cap on non-homestead property assessments. Such property tax assessment increases have been limited to 10% of the previous year assessed value since 2008, when another constitutional amendment that capped the increase passed. Ladies and gentlemen, what this is literally doing, this is referred to by the legislators, I said a moment ago. And according to the legislative estimate, this would cost the governing bodies across the state hundreds of millions of dollars. Now, again, it's very similar to Amendment Number 1. It is a loosey-goosey amendment that when you read the totality of it, it absolutely puts major, major restraints. It comes in where state governance, then based on a constitutional amendment, will control what can be done on a local level with local citizens making decisions on what they want in control of their own cities and counties. Ladies and gentlemen, I say no on this particular amendment. In revenue, again, vote no. This is dealing with something that is, I say no on, because local governing bodies will only find more and more lucrative ways to replace the lost revenues. Listen, if this takes place, we're going to find major, major, major impact on small business in the state of Florida that will cost small businesses more and more, that which will simply drive up the cost of services and products and materials that we buy from them. And ladies and gentlemen, we have enough escalation and things of that nature today. So I say no on Amendment 1. I say no on Amendment 2. And Amendment 3, if we have time, ladies and gentlemen, for the next few minutes to cover that. Amendment 3. Listen to this very carefully, ladies and gentlemen. It says voter control of gambling in the state of Florida. A citizens initiative amendment would give voters the exclusive, I like their misleading terms, would give voters the exclusive right to decide to authorize expansions of casino gambling in Florida. That authority currently rests with both the legislator and voters. Listen, now they're saying it gives exclusive right to the citizens, but it goes further to say the authority already rests with the legislature and voters. But ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand this is a backdoor, absolute sham on the citizens of the state of Florida. I say no, 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 because it's talking about control of gambling in the state of Florida. This is simply a joke. Of course, we already have this control when we control who goes into office in the House and the Senate. Therefore, this again is something that Florida has said continually no to. Yet the gambling special interest group, the big boy gambling group, are attempting an initiative that we, the people, have control over now. We've said no. The legislators have said no. The courts have said no. Ladies and gentlemen, do you realize card games and casino games and slot machines are limited to tribal facilities in most of the state of Florida, though some of the slot machines are allowed at certain parimutuel betting facilities in Broward and Miami-Dade counties? Though the legislature has tried in recent years, ladies and gentlemen, to pass a gambling bill that would address the state's agreement with the Seminole tribe and allow some expansion of casinos, negotiations have repeatedly broken down as the House, which is opposed to gambling, rejects this proposal. Ladies and gentlemen, the House has repeatedly said no. We have right now an agreement with the Seminole Indians to allow them to have casino gambling on their tribal lands, but not in the state of Florida as a whole. But ladies and gentlemen, listen, if the citizens vote yes on this gambling aspect, we will open Pandora's box gambling mixed with the pot that's already been approved. We will have the destruction of families. We'll have foreclosures of homes. We'll have destruction of morals and values and ethics. The next thing we'll see, ladies and gentlemen, if we allow the special interest groups, the next thing on the ballot initiatives, would be that we will legalize prostitution or legalize pedophilia. Anything goes if we allow gambling and pot to be legalized, as we see the continuation by the deterioration of our Constitution by adding amendments that's destroying the life's values and the constitutional freedoms that we have already in America today. Ladies and gentlemen, I say no on Amendment 1. I say no on Amendment 2. I say no on Amendment 3. This Amendment 3, by the way, is a sham initiative. It's a smokescreen to bring gambling kingpins into the state of Florida and allow the kingpin gamblers to say yes, 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 and destroy the morals, ethics, and the values of our homes. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to continuing this study as we think about these amendments on the next issue of Let's Face the Issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.